Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Child Protection in Sport Unit. We're part of the NSPCC and funded by UK Sports Councils. Our work supports organisations to safeguard all children taking part in sport.
Hello and welcome to this podcast. My name is Mel and I'm part of the NSPCC Child Protection in Sport Unit. I'm joined here today by my colleague and senior consultant, Carol Billington-Wood, who also works for the Child Protection Sport Unit, and also Rebecca Wood, who is the Talent and Events Welfare Officer for Swim England. So we're here today to chat about the impact of social media on young people's body image. So if you'll excuse the pun, Rebecca, we'll just dive right in, I guess. So Carol, firstly, I just thought we might want to chat a little bit about and explain a little bit more about how sport specifically uses social media and how that differs from the general public, or in other words, what sort of makes young athletes' experience especially more unique in sport when they're using social media?
Yeah, I guess the first thing that sort of comes to my mind is that, you know, social media platforms, particularly for athletes and our high performance athletes, thinking of those, I mean, it's got huge positive benefits. It improves things like visibility, networking with brands, gaining sponsorship. We know, you know, where athletes have large followings on social media, they're more likely to attract sponsors. We also see that it's a great opportunity for them to connect with their fans and often sort of champion causes. It might be things that are important to them, and it gives athletes a real voice, not just to speak about things that are happening in the sport, but, you know, much wider than that in sort of wider society. So I think, you know, it's a real opportunity. And then we see that, you know, some athletes have huge amounts of followers. Just looking at athletes that I sometimes follow, you know, Sky Brown, who was one of the youngest summer Olympians at the last Olympics in Tokyo. She's got sort of 1.3 million followers on Instagram. And whenever she sort of posts a trick or even a tweak to a trick, you know, there's 60,000 likes there on Instagram. So we're sort of like looking at, you know, quite, you know, huge amounts of followers for some of these athletes. And another one, Tom Daley, 3.2 million followers. It's huge. And athletes are actually sort of actively seeking out this sort of exposure. And I know Rebecca will talk much more about some of that, how athletes, you know, try and increase their sort of social media presence. So it's a really important, and it can be a really positive thing. I guess in terms of like specific to sport, it's often sort of related to performance as well. You know, when there's good performance and bad performance, there'll often be an increased sort of in social media reactions. And we often see that around high profile events. There'll be much more sort of social media activity around things like the Olympics and World Championships. It's almost like that, you know, that real spotlight that's related to performance. It's also sort of the, I guess, the images as well that we see. We were talking earlier, you know, about images that might be posted by our friends or, you know, people that we connect with. And you see a picture of yourself and you think, oh, you know, we should post it a different one. And, you know, athletes have got little control about the sort of images that will be shared, particularly when, you know, they've got the media and quite intense spotlight. So there's often that sort of sharing of images that don't necessarily have consent. So we sometimes see some of the images that maybe are not as diverse sort of body types that we want. And that can put pressure on athletes to think, you know, oh, if I don't look this way in my sport, if I don't look like somebody else, you know, am I going to be able to make it? And we know that, you know, there isn't an ideal body type in an activity. We need to start, you know, showing more diverse images. So I think sometimes some of the images that shared can put huge sort of pressure on athletes. And then, you know, I think it's just that whole sort of the pressure around it, really.
They will feel pressure just from the fact that they idolise a lot of these elite athletes, right? Just from a sports, you know, athlete's point of view, that, you know, the people that are being put in the media are the people that they all idolise. They all want to aspire to be like and in sometimes look like. So, yeah, they do feel that pressure, definitely.
Yeah. And I think sort of, you know, before we sort of move on to the you know, start on the positive side, but the sort of more negative side, only this week we saw sort of Loughborough University sort of published a report that was commissioned by the International Olympic Committee. And I think that sort of showed that, you know, the sort of more sort of online sort of abuse that's aimed at elite athletes is definitely on the rise, you know, sort of putting yourself out there. You know, it's an opportunity for some people to abuse that. And, you know, we've seen that in sort of recent years, you know, this research shows that, you know, it's increased. And they were talking about possibly sort of one third of posts now containing negative content that's targeted, you know, to sport, towards sporting sort of stars and athletes. So, yeah, there's quite a few unique things there, I think, about social media and sport.
And I think there's some really good examples, aren't there, Carol, recently of that sort of negative side of things. I know there was a recent BBC survey that surveyed British sportswomen, and 77% of them said that they were conscious about their body image. And another 29% of them said they'd experienced online trolling. So are there sort of recent examples that we can highlight of, you know, when social media and comments about a high profile athlete's body image have been sort of negative and had that kind of impact?
Yeah, I mean, sadly, there's quite a few that you could pick. And I think the one that sort of stands out sort of more recently sort of in my mind is is Fran Kirby. You know, she spoke out and she talked about where people had said, you know, oh, Fran played really well, you know, what a game, but she looked big today. And you know, Fran's sort of response to that is like, you know, why is this comment necessary? You know, it shouldn't really matter what my body type is like. But, you know, there is that sort of just almost feeling that it's okay to have that sort of discussion. And it's raised issues, you know, I think like this sort of constant demand to look a certain way. And, you know, and I think in relation to Fran, when her manager, Emma Hayes, came out and sort of spoke in support, which was great, she talked about this sort of vitriolic environment that comes from social media. And so I think that's one that certainly stands out in my mind. But, you know, there are others going back a little bit further, perhaps sort of looking at the Beijing Olympics, you know, after those, Rebecca Adlington talked about, you know, I just got hammered by trolling and it was always about my appearance. It was always the way I looked. And sometimes, you know, it'll be people, you know, Fran sort of saying, you know, she looks big today. Sometimes it's the opposite, you know. In Ironman, Iron Woman triathlon, Lucy Charles Barkley was, I think she was the half Ironman world champion in 2021, and she got lots of comments after that. She got injured, and then people were saying things like, "She tried to get too skinny. She's not eating. That's why she got injured." And people sort of feeling that they could talk about her in that way, and she's called out on that body shaming of female athletes. And I guess it's important to say it isn't just female athletes, but the studies that we look at, it shows sort of a higher prevalence against female athletes, this sort of body shaming conversation.
If I could just add there, Carol, just thinking, you know, talk about it is male athletes as well, but actually for the female athlete, the comments they either get about their body image are that they are too big or too skinny or negative comments. But then they either get sexualized quite often by their body. So, you know, people think that they're there for exploitation as such. You know, they look at them and say, oh, they look like this. And they want to be seen as athletes and not as like an object as such. So I think sometimes they think, you know, there's no in-between ground or they look like an athlete. Women athletes, I don't think, receive that sort of feedback as much as their male counterparts, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think it is. It's interesting that, you know, it is definitely towards male and female, but I think the whole sort of social media posts, the sort of, you know, the sort of hateful, discriminatory, the emotional forms of harassment, it is especially towards female athletes. And I think there was a study by World Athletics as well, looking at sort of the effect of major championships, as we said, you know, that's often when there's more sort of social media activity. And looking at Tokyo, World Athletics found that there was a greater sort of negative sort of body image sort of content around female athletes.
A really interesting examples there, I think, and I think it's important to kind of note that a lot of the time what we find is happening at sort of influencer level or high profile, you know, celebrity level, is happening to, you know, everyday people. And I think in sport that translates as, you know, if this is happening online to high profile athletes, it's probably happening to elite young athletes as well online. These comments about their body image or performance online when they're putting that sort of information out there in the public domain. Rebecca, I just wanted to kind of come to you and ask about what does the picture look like in swimming for you in terms of social media and how is it sort of used in your sport?
Yeah, so if I just think about swimming, let's talk about aquatic sports. As you know, it's not just swimming. We've got water polo and diving and artistic swimming as well. And I think about, you know, something that springs to mind is artistic swimming. It's quite a small sport. It's not got a huge following worldwide. So I think those athletes are aspiring to be Olympians and go to the world championships. They feel a real obligation to their sport because they're so passionate about it to post on their social media platforms about their sport because the sport isn't getting exposure from the mainstream media. So because they love their sport and they want people to know more about the sport, that's where they feel they really want to get a following and, you know, show everyone what their sport's about. So, you know, you look at artistic swimming, it's a sport that's all about image. It's how they present themselves. It's how they look. So I think that just can create a lot of people looking in and judging what those swimmers and young girls and boys look like from a sport point of view, from a performance angle, but exactly how their bodies look. And the routines get up close, they get post-personal, so that, you know, they are in positions that the normal public probably wouldn't put themselves in front of a camera, but they're doing that because it's part of the sport and to get exposure for their sport. So I think that can be really, you know, difficult for them. But I think for me, like swimmers, they are basically, you know, they're wearing a swimsuit, which most of the population aren't comfortable on parading around in front of a camera, but that is their sport. And from working with young swimmers, you know, I was just having a chat the other day with some nationals, you know, girls that are on the national program. And they say they are okay with what their body looks like with other swimmers, because other swimmers look like other swimmers most of the time, you know, 14-year-olds training 20 hours a week. Where they worry about their body is when they go back to school and they look different to their peers and their peers make comments on their body just because it looks different to them. And they're really conscious. They look at their body as an aid for performance and people are judging them on what they look like rather than you look like that because you perform a certain way. They can be quite cruel to each other and say comments. And it's people on the outside looking in. They, you know, they'd say comments to them like, oh, you're a bit muscly, your shoulders are too wide. Whereas of course they look different to their peers who are 14 because they're training 20 hours a week for the sport that they love. So that's definitely something that they get worried about, people outside of sport looking in, and they feel that, why do they have a right to comment on my body? Why don't they just comment on how well I swam at the weekend and I did a PB and I'm now going, you know, I won this competition. But they're not. Their first foremost is, oh, what do you think my friends will think of my body because it does look different?
Rebecca, I was going to say that's really interesting because that's, I think at the beginning, that's what I was thinking. It's that nature of social media sort of being open to judgment, I think, isn't it? And, you know, people feeling that they can make those judgments. And I think, you know, one thing we sort of haven't even touched on yet is that sort of huge trauma that can be caused for those sort of individuals who might be sort of on the end of those comments. And it can sort of really impact on their performance, both training and in competition. Life. But also, you know, not to sort of belittle in any way, the sort of the impact that it can have on their overall life as well. You know, some of those examples that we perhaps talked about, you know, it makes people feel unsafe perhaps in their, you know, their wider life, not just as an athlete. And I think, you know, it's really important as we sort of move towards things like Paris that we sort of really think about, you know, not just the effect on these people's performance, but, you know, on the trauma, how it can impact the rest of their lives.
you know, this young athlete was saying to me, like, at swimming, and in, you know, she would be really comfortable in her swimsuit round her peers who were also swimming. But when she goes to swimming at school, she wears her Nike shorts over her swimming costume, so she doesn't look like the, she doesn't, because she doesn't want to expose herself to the other teenagers that she wears, because she looks different. So that's really interesting. You know, like you say, you know, it's not just about them and their performance, it's about them as a person, the wider person, and the impact that people's comments make on these young person's life, and they can carry that all the way through into adulthood. And it's a cruel world for them, but they do feel that pressure to post because they need to get exposure to their sport. It's a tough world for them, you know. And she made a really good comment for me. She's like, girls have the, you know, we want to look like a certain way, but she said, I think boys sometimes have it worse, especially in the world of swimming. This is a view from an athlete. She said, because boys will often see the Olympic male swimmers and they've got quite muscular physiques, they've got wide shoulders, whereas a 12, 13 year old boy isn't physically going to look like that. So they feel like they're a million miles away from what their goal aspiration is to look like. So she said, sometimes in the moment, the boys feel like they have it worse in the sport of swimming.
It's almost something about sort of the education around the diversity of body types, isn't there? Because there is no one ideal swimmer, triathlete, footballer. And we need to try it. And I wonder if social media makes that worse, because you see image.
Definitely. They just, you know, I think when you think of something, you know, that you post the elite of the elite, and they probably do look a certain way. So I think getting more exposure to those people that don't look like the norm would really help those young athletes who are thinking, will I look like that? I don't know. I'm 12. You know, you never know what they're going to look like in 10 years' time. But, you know, making sure that those people have access to people that look a certain way in any shape, so that it doesn't matter what they look like, they still can perform. And that's what we're saying. It's not one size fits all, is it?
So is there anything, Rebecca, that swimming or aquatic sports have done in recent years, or are doing, to sort of change that view on body image within the sport, or protect young athletes' sort of well-being when they're exposed to that kind of stuff online?
Yeah, so Swim England have brought in a policy of no weighing in all club settings. So that came in last year. So that's just to protect swimmers, that they're not weighed at all within the clubs. You know, and the policy's very, you know, very clear on that. There's no need to. And in Swim England, they're only weighed if they're on a talent pathway, and they're supported by nutritionists, sports scientists, who are weighing athletes for that very unique performance aspect. It's not because we want them to lose weight or gain weight. It's so that we can make sure the lactate testing is done properly, and we're measuring their growth and maturation. So they're done with partnership with the supported parties, so that we're not just weighing them on the side of the pool and saying, in front of people, and saying, oh, you are weighing this and you're weighing that, and that person needs to lose that. That is just, we just have to have a whole culture change on that. It's not fair on young athletes. So now there's no weighing policy. And I think, you know, you can have a policy in place, but you've then got to embed the culture into all different aspects of the sports, haven't you? So in artistic swimming, we made tweaks to the rules, you know, so young athletes were getting measured for when they do the splits, and they were having to wear a leotard or a swimming costume. Rule changes are they can now wear shorts or leggings, so therefore they are covered up and they have a bit more dignity in that very compromising position, where it's a performance marker, but they are feeling more comfortable. So it's just making sure that the policy is implemented throughout the sport, and it goes further than just don't weigh an athlete. It's looking at how their bodies are seen and how they can make athletes feeling more comfortable, because we don't want athletes to fall out of the sport because of something that can be prevented. And I think that might happen. A young girl might feel really uncomfortable, you know, start changing their bodies around certain ages, how they look, how their friends look. They may develop early. So I just think we need to protect those young girls and boys from feeling uncomfortable, and making sure they can access the sport.
are really, really good examples, I think, of like action that can be taken, especially obviously within swimming, because they're quite swimming specific, aren't they, those sort of rule changes. But what do you think that all sports could maybe take away from this and do to sort of support and protect those elite young athletes who might be using social media in those similar ways to kind of fund their sport or gain, you know, better exposure for their sport?
I think for me, you've really got to know your athletes individually. I think as adults, we can pass our judgment on what a young person's doing quite quickly. So if we know them and know the reasoning why they might be posting on social media or why they not be, we can support them and learn what they need from us as adults, because we are talking about young people here specifically for me. We're the adults, we need to help them, but we need to be guided by them. So if you know your athlete better than just a performer and as a person, you can really put in things that make support them.
Yeah, I think for me, you know, it is, you know, if you're working with athletes and young people, it's being aware of what they might be experiencing. So sometimes it's learning maybe a little bit more about social media and, you know, the need for it and how it works, so that you can really support people. So I think there is that little bit of just being actually aware of what they might be experiencing. And if they're coming up to a major event, and if we're thinking towards Paris, you know, and there is going to be a lot of, you know, interest and comment around it, just thinking about that and how you can support athletes through different sort of stages, whether it's, you know, training and a major competition. So I think it's that little bit. But it's also, I think, about, you know, just what Rebecca has said in sort of response to this question. It's about creating that sort of positive culture around food, around weight and body shape, because we know in some high performance environments there is a heavy sort of emphasis on weight and body shape, and sort of, you know, things like the changes to policies, how you might be able to do things differently, it can have a real impact on creating that sort of positive culture around body shape. So I think that's a really key one for me, and sort of normalizing these conversations about the sort of athletes' relationships with their body, with food and with nutrition. It's really important, and it's a key part of being an athlete and being in sport. So, you know, don't avoid these conversations, have them. You know, it's about normalizing those conversations for me.
It's communication, isn't it, as well? Like, you know, if we don't communicate to the athletes and the parents what the performance demands are for the sport, and that includes what they put into their bodies, you know, they need to feel themselves. So, but if we aren't communicating the right message to them, they just don't know. And some people have come from a non-sporting background. As professionals within the sport, we have the knowledge and experience to be able to share that. We shouldn't assume that everyone will have the same knowledge as us or coaches around this subject. So we have to communicate with our young people and the parents that are supporting them on what we expect and what we need to give our athletes to succeed. You know, it's not just, we can't assume that people just know what we know as well. So education's really, really important with that. So in any sport, communicate, educate the people that are supporting your athletes and the athletes themselves.
And one of the things when Fran Kirby spoke out, and I sort of briefly said it earlier, it was great to see our Emma Hayes, the manager, came out immediately and sort of said, yeah, it is a problem in the sport, you know, this problem with body shaming, and praised, you know, her player for sort of speaking out. And one of the things that she called for, it is more sort of education around this issue. So I think, you know, there is a real need for sort of increasing that education. But part of that is, you know, having more of these conversations. And so, you know, if you're working with children, it's young people, young athletes, it's about sort of, I guess, equipping yourself with the knowledge to support them and to have these discussions. And that might be, you know, you need to sort of do a little bit of research, looking at websites, just to find out sort of, you know, if you were worried about, you know, one of your athletes, how would you support them? You know, there's lots of sort of guidance around online safety and pages for support and different services for young people. So it's really sort of being aware of that and being aware of it in advance, you know, not when it happens, just sort of take it on yourself as part of your role as a coach or a development, you know, or a you know, talent sort of pathways. You know, if you've got a role there, just take that time and sort of equip yourself with the knowledge to support young people around issues with social media.
Yeah, knowing where to signpost is really crucial, I think, within your sport, and knowing what expertise you have within your sport that you can access and tap into. Because you shouldn't feel like you should have to take on this issue yourself, Carol, is it? You know, it's a big issue. And if you're not comfortable dealing it, just, you know, seek out those professionals within the sport that you're in. You know, there will be people that want to help you and you as a practitioner, but also those young people that are in there.
Yeah. And you know, for most sports, they're going to have great resources out there that you can look for. And one of the things that the Loughborough research that came out, you know, just this week sort of suggested was that sometimes sports organisations and governing bodies in this area can struggle to keep up with the sort of social media abuse from a safeguarding perspective. So it's looking at sort of the policies that you might have, social media use, codes of conducts, safeguarding policies, and sort of looking at those, familiarising yourself with them. And in some cases, for some roles, it might be reviewing them so that you know sort of, you know, what are the boundaries of online abuse and what those behaviours might look like, because it can look like lots of different things. That can be racial abuse, hate speech, cyberbullying, and making sure that, you know, those things are covered within those policies.
Some great advice there, I think, from both of you. So thank you, Rebecca and Carol, for that. I think it's going to be really useful for other sports to sort of hear your experiences and just sort of how social media is playing such a big part in young athletes' lives for so many reasons. I guess it's important to say that if you are looking for places to signpost young people for either support or advice, or you're looking for guidance around online safety yourself, you can always head over to the CPSU website. That's thecpsu.org.uk. And there's just a wealth of resources and knowledge on there for anyone who's working with young people in sport.
Thank you for listening to this Child Protection in Sport Unit podcast. If you're looking for more information and resources on safeguarding children in sport, please visit our website at thecpsu.org.uk.